of spot. Spot. In case you're wondering what in the world that is, well, that's a pretty good name for a little bitty pet. Anybody have, by the way, a pet by the name of Spot this morning here in our midst? I wanted to be very careful not to offend, okay? So if we had a Spot, then I was going to maybe change it or something. But jokes aside, this is the second area, American Idol, and we want to get into it from the Word of God this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word again. Thank you so much for, Lord, all the things that you're doing in our midst. And Lord, this is not the type of series of messages that I would have chosen for a fall campaign. But Lord, you are in charge. And Lord, this is where you have placed us for this period of time, this time of year, and we want to be obedient to you. And so I pray that you will work in our hearts again this morning. I pray that we as believers will not have idolatry in our midst. We'll cast down the things that have become idols, and Lord, put you in your right place in our lives, and you're certainly worthy. You're so good. And you do care for us. And you are coming again for us. And all these things that we think are really important, sports and all these other things that we think are so very important, Lord, that when the church is caught up out of here, Lord, when it's all said and done, Lord, you have put down Satan for that final time, all the enemies that would buck up against you one final time, then Lord, for all eternity, we will worship the one true God. Nothing else will really matter. And so I pray that you'll focus our hearts and our minds on eternal things this morning. I pray again, if there's somebody here that's lost, help them to realize, maybe through this topic, or maybe just by the Spirit of God, Lord, speaking, convicting, talking to them, they'll realize their condition. And Lord, they would get it turned around and, Lord, give their lives to you before even the day is done. We thank you again for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn over again to Psalm 106. We actually took a pretty good dive into Psalm 106, and we looked at the different indications and of the different public evidence that God gave against his people concerning this matter of idolatry. And so we read about this, and we even highlighted it. But we got to come back to it, what we're talking about today. Psalm number 106, verse number 19. The Bible says, they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus, they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. Now, the Lord gives us an indication here as to the glory of man. Man has glory, and there's even this indication in the book of Corinthians. It talks about those bodies, and that one body is different in its glory than another body, the celestial bodies, the terrestrial bodies, and so on and so forth. Well, God has put man at the apex of his creation, and everything else comes below it, and God is the only thing that is above mankind. So here's what happens as a result of the fact that we were created in God's image and in God's likeness. When we worship anything outside of God, who has placed his image and his likeness on us, we actually change our glory into that which is lower than what it ought to be. We're really settling for a position. By the way, people want position, and they want to feel a privilege or proud within themselves. And the best way to have the type of self-confidence and the right type of self-image is to know who created you and I and for what purpose. That's the best way. Anything else will be a lower standard. They changed the similitude, the Bible says, into an ox that eateth grass. A dumb ox. And I don't say that to be rude to the ox. God himself calls these animals dumb. It simply means that they cannot speak. Now, I understand, as we get into the message here. You've got a pet, and it's like no other that's ever lived. Pastor Tim, I can tell you, I can almost understand what he's saying to me. I get it. All right, I understand. And maybe it's like a lot of babies and a lot of children, you know. The parent can understand the gibberish that they speak a lot better than everybody else. Notwithstanding, I still have not met or seen with all the amazing things that are going on. I've never seen an animal that literally could speak. Now, we've got some that can parrot. They can parrot. But that's the best they can do. Notice Numbers chapter 21 for a moment. Numbers chapter number 21. I want to highlight this incident for a moment because I want you to again realize there is nothing in and of itself wrong with animals. There's nothing wrong in and of itself with owning an animal, whether that be as a pet or as some sort of a work animal or whatever the case may be. There is nothing wrong, nothing sinful, nothing biblically wrong with that. By the way, I think I can prove that from the scriptures. All right? That said, animals, like anything else, can get out of its proper place, and it's not the animal's fault, it's our fault, and we can begin to worship it as an idol. I want you to see this, Numbers chapter 21, and I want you to notice verse number 8. This is a very familiar story if you've been around church any length of time. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. By the way, there are medical associations to this day that use that serpent. Thank God. You know where it came from. It came from the Word of God. It's a good thing. But the people of Israel, they are like anybody else. They're good examples to us of good and bad. And look, if you will, at 2 Kings chapter number 18. Now, what had happened in Numbers 21 is God had judged his people because they're murmuring and complaining and rebelling against God as they were apt to do. And so there were these serpents that God allowed, created, to begin to bite them and inflict them so badly that people were dying. And they cried out to God, and God told Moses, you make this brazen serpent and put it up where everybody can see it, and if somebody will simply look to that, they will recover from being bitten by these serpents. Look and live. My brother, live. 2 Kings chapter number 18. Not very far down the road. Now they've been established. By the way, God's been good to them. He's brought them into Canaan land. Fruit and the milk and the honey and all the good things that Canaan has. Fruit has a way of spoiling us. Consider this. God's been good to us in America. I would imagine when we started to come into this North American continent and the nation was getting started, very few animals were pets. I would just imagine that. I have no verification or proof of that. They were trying to survive. And I would imagine for the most part, they were number one, food, and number two, they used them for work. But that was the primary aspect in which they were used. Now we come along the way, not really very far as far as the history of nations are concerned, 200 and some odd years, and now we have a multitude of pets all over our country. Again, I'm not against having a pet. I'm not against animals. I'm not an animal lover, nor am I an animal hater, okay? We've had pets. My family, when I was younger, had pets. And my thing was always, hey, I love to pet them and maybe spend a couple minutes with them or something like that. But they're yours. You know, that's your pet. Feed them and deal with them, all the issues that pets bring. You do that. Clean up after them, all that. That's always been my mentality. I see a pet as work and money. That's what I see it as, okay, personally. But I'm not against them. But you see, not very long time has passed in the nation of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 4, we see these words. 2 Kings 18, verse number 4. He removed the high places. This is talking about King Hezekiah, one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces, here it is, the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. This word Nehushtan just means a brazen serpent, or maybe even a brazen or a brass god. It became famous, and then it became infamous, because that which was actually good for the people, you better hear me this morning, became evil to them. I want to qualify this. We don't have very much time. I don't think we'll need a lot of time. As support, spot as support. I am thankful for all the numerous ways that the Lord has allowed man to be able to use animals. The numerous ways. And when I speak of support, I'm not speaking of an animal as a pet or as food. I'm saying in all the other ways that they support us, being in a work capacity or maybe a therapeutic capacity or maybe in a medicine capacity. How many of you ever went to a biology class or something like that and you dissected a frog, a pig, or something else? All right? Do they still do that? They do? I'm amazed. You can't? Well, they use cats now. I'm amazed that they, Brother Pennington gave me a thumbs up to that point there. You cat people, all right, just simmer down, all right? But I really am. I'm amazed that they even allow it in the day and age in which we live with the heights now that animals have been placed on. But you understand, I mean, there have been so many breakthroughs and inventions and health exploration because of the way animals have been used all down through the centuries. I mean, it's good. Genesis chapter number 1, we could look at the entirety of the passage there, but for sake of time, I want to point out to you that God talks about creating these creatures and these beasts. He calls them creatures and beasts. The ones that are in the water, the ones that are on the earth, the ones that are in the air, they're creatures and they're beasts. He does not refer to mankind that way. A creature, the Hebrew word, means a swarm, a great number. Why did God give us a great swarm, a great number? Why did He give us these creatures? He knew we'd need it. He knew we'd need it. There's something very dangerous going on, and this is not the first time it's been talked about. It probably won't be the last if the Lord tarries His coming. But there are those in very, very high places and very wicked places that believe that we need to start tamping down the population of the world. Otherwise, there's not going to be enough resources for everybody. Folks, we better be very, very careful with that. God knew what He was doing when He said, I've given you creatures, I've given you a swarm, I've given you plenty, and I realize there are some endangered species, but friend, there are magnitude more that exist that are not endangered, and a magnitude more that have not even been discovered yet. We're not running out of anything. Don't get swallowed up by all this climate change and all this junk. All it is the worship. It's pantheism is really what it is. It's the worship of the creature rather than the Creator. Be careful with that. The word beast, from a Hebrew word meaning raw flesh, and it simply means living. Something that's got life, something that's got raw flesh. Much as you love your pet, I hate to point it out this morning, it doesn't have a soul, it doesn't have a spirit. Look, if you can find it in the Scriptures, point it out to me. I hadn't found it. Do all dogs go to heaven? I don't know. I don't see it in the Word of God, okay? Are there animals in heaven? Probably. Is it Fido? Is it Spot? I don't know, okay? What I would say about that is this, and this is a good point to make. If it was important enough to us, I figure God would have given it to us and told us about it. We wonder about things that God doesn't talk about. Maybe we should stop wondering about those kind of things. A beast, raw flesh, living. Thank God for it. But God calls them creatures and beasts. He does not call mankind that. He says he calls us man and woman out of the womb of man, a man of the earth, man who was created by God. And he says to man in this same passage, Genesis 1, 20 through 28, we are to subdue the creation, the creatures, the beast. You know what that means? To conquer or to bring into bondage. To conquer or to bring into bondage. No, there ought not to be a person that is a slave. I believe God has always been against people as slaves. But slavery for animals? No problem. No problem. I own my animal. By the way, we've come away from that because it's not correct. And, you know, we want to talk about fur babies and all these types of things. And again, folks, I understand they touch our hearts. And they're good to us, and God's given them to us, and all those things, but we better realize what they are. They're here to support us, not we them. He says, have dominion. That means you rule and you reign over them. You set the rules for them. They don't set the rules for you. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. Boy, we run out of time quickly this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Not only as support, God gave animals as pets. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Notice verses 1 through 4. The Lord sent Nathan unto David. He came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup. There you go. If you feed your little puppy table food, no problem. No problem. You're not the first, you won't be the last. Don't feel bad about that, all right? By the way, the dogs come and eat of the crumbs of the table. That's what a dog ought to do, okay? The Bible said it did eat of his own meat, drank of his own cup, lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. Understand the language here. Was not a daughter, was unto him as a daughter. That's important. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. He spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Now, he gives this as a hypothetical story. I don't know if this is a real account or not. I'd imagine that the prophet Nathan just made it up. But here's the point. David does not respond to Nathan as if, no way. There's no way this is real. Nobody would treat a little lamb like that. Matter of fact, he does the opposite. He gets very angry about the situation as if he's going into the household of this one who had one little poor little lamb that they had raised up and was like family to them. And he says, off with the head of this rich man that killed this poor little lamb and made a rack of lamb out of it or whatever he did with it. What I'm saying is I don't see any indication in scriptures where simply having an animal as a pet is wrong in and of itself. As food, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, we've read this passage recently as we've gone through the book of 1 Timothy, and let me just suffice it to say this. God basically tells us there's going to be people who are not going to preach the truth And included with not preaching the truth, they're going to forbid you to eat meat. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It seems like that's very, very popular in our culture today. Are you vegan or are you vegetarian or what have you? Again, I'm not against you if you're vegan, vegetarian, or what, but I am a meat eater. By the way, I like vegetables. But I like a balance. I want some meat and some veggies and some carbs along with that. I mean, I like my plate to sort of have a balance on it. And if all you want is some sort of soybeans mashed up into something to look like a steak, good on you. Good on you. But God said there will be these people that do not preach the truth, and they will forbid you to eat meat. They will change the... By the way, I wonder why they would forbid this. I wonder why they would forbid to marry. Why are they taking these constructs that God set up in His original creation? I'm talking about Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. Why would they take these things and totally pervert them? So I'm simply qualifying Spot this morning. He can be support. He can be a pet. He can be food. And I realize it's not politically correct, but if you go around to the other side of the world and your Spot would be dinner. Your cat would be fajitas. Okay? And I'm telling you, if the Lord gives me a chance to go to the Philippines or somewhere, I'm going to try some. I'm going to try some little doggy. And I want to see. Okay? I wouldn't take your doggy. I wouldn't take your little lamb. But I'm curious. I really am. I'm curious. We've qualified it. I want to quantify it this morning. And it really is. It's quite startling. We don't have time to unpack it all. But I want you just to consider the time that is put into animals in the day and age in which we live. Just time. The amount of time it takes to care for one animal or multiple animals, or maybe even a whole ranch or farm of animals, in the case where they're used for work or for raising or for business or what have you. The time that's taken, time that it takes to maybe walk a pet or feed a pet, to get them groomed or to groom them yourself, all the time that goes into it. And I don't know what the average might be, but if you take just those bits of time and add them up, and then you start asking yourself questions like, how much time do I give God this way? I'm talking about where I'm solely focused on the Lord, where I'm either hearing what He's trying to tell me, or I'm speaking to Him, or maybe I'm congregating and fellowshipping with other believers, or I'm telling somebody about Him. I'm talking about that specific time. Do I put more time in to my animals, the creatures, the beasts, than I do time for the one that I say I love and I worship? I want you to consider money. This is a big one. Again, you say, how do you quantify this as an American idol? Well, let me just say this to you. America spends almost two times what Britain does, and there's no other country that spends more than Britain and America, and we spend almost double what Britain does simply on pets. Almost double. We definitely lead the world. I said for sports, it's $100 to $150 billion. For animals, estimated 2021. Last year, it was $103 billion. It goes up in 2021 to $110 billion simply on pets. I'm not talking about as support, all these other different facets, or as food. I'm saying simply as a pet. $42 billion a year spent on food, $22 billion on supplies and medicine, $31 billion on vet care, and $8 billion otherwise, boarding, grooming, etc. You got to pay for those pet hotels. Again, I'm not against it outright. I'm simply saying that this is an American idol, no doubt about it. Consider risk. Did you know that approximately 4.5 million dog bites happen each year? I'm not talking about any other animal. Of course, this is going to be the most prevalent. 4.5 million dog bites each year in the United States. 800,000 result in medical care. That means that a dog bites one out of 73 people in the United States. Now, I'm not against Fido. By the way, I've been bit. How many of you have been bit by a dog? All right, that proves our statistics. Here's what I'm saying, though. We'll continue to take the risks. How many accounts have we heard of these people's their pets who have attacked them and killed them? Not just dogs, other ones as well. And even with the risk of potentially being harmed by a dog or being killed by a dog or some other pet, and yet we still continue to deal with animals. There are some laws on the book to protect in case somebody gets bit or whatever the case may be. But I don't know of a law, for instance, and I honestly, this is controversial, but I don't know that it ought not be this way, that if, for instance, you let an animal out and it ends up killing a person, that you are held responsible in a large way. Now, civilly speaking, you are. But criminally, good luck finding that in our culture. I'm saying we take risks with animals, and yet when it comes to the Lord God, again, I hate to come back to it, but we've had diseases and illness before. We're going to have them again, and it's amazing the way we would shut down an entire society and go on with these other risks that we live with. By the way, this ain't the only one. I'm not just picking on animals this morning. We still drive cars. The speed limit is still 80 miles an hour on nice roads that I like to drive on. And people die all the time out there on the street. I'm talking about risk. What about influence? Compatibility and consideration. It's amazing to me the considerations that people will make. For instance, marriage. You know this to be the case. There are those that say, I would not marry a person who does not like animals. And they'll make that their top thing. I mean, if you talk to them, look, they've got to like animals. And everything else comes below. Concerning marriage, that's the number one thing you're concerned with? I know of at least one individual who had to choose between sleeping outside in their car with their animals versus sleeping indoors under a roof, but you can't have your animals, and they chose to sleep in their car. Say what you will, I think that's a little loopy. Can I say it that way? I've told this before. I collected for homes at one point, folks that were past due on their mortgage. And I can't tell you the number of times we would go through and have the person tell us, we're trying to help them, maybe provide a program to help them with their mortgage or how far they're back or whatever. And so to do this, you've got to set out what your expenses are, your income, and all that. And I'd start taking this down with this person on the phone. And usually there were two things that would come up. One of them was cigarettes, and another one was pet stuff. Hundreds of dollars. Some of them, if they got rid of their cigarette habit and their pets, they could pay their mortgage. And when I raised that as a suggestion, many times I got cursed out over the phone. How dare I even raise that as an option? Do you see how that takes the glory of man and it brings it down? It says, I don't care if I've even got a roof over my head, clothes on my back. What I'm saying is that we have a problem in our culture with American idolatry. I said this over social media, but we now have a culture. By the way, this is the fantasy. You start raising something up to what it ought not be and lowering yourself. And now we have these organizations that have millions of dollars, maybe even billions, that are put into them, and they promote the cause of saving this poor little stray animal. They're all over. And the same organization will not lift a finger and oftentimes oppose saving a little baby. The same organization. The same culture. It's an idolatrous culture. And we're living in the midst of it today. And maybe there's somebody who, if you were to look at your life, look, folks, I'm not trying to throw rocks at anybody or anything, all situations. By the way, Jesus said that on the Sabbath day, if somebody had an animal that fell into a ditch, you wouldn't go rescue them out and treat them and all of that. Understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying because you miss a Sunday because you got an emergency with a pet, that pet is your idol. But I am saying this. I've heard of and seen, maybe now that I'm a pastor, more incidences where people miss something to do with the church or with the Lord because of a pet than I've ever known of before. And all I'm saying is this. We need to look at our lives and we just need to see these things that in and of themselves are good, are they setting up in my heart, in my life, as an idol? Are they setting themselves on the same level as the Lord or His people or other people who He's created in His image? Where I would rather see an animal live than a human being live. God help us. That is idolatry. It's wicked. It's wicked. We're going to have to give account to God. I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about believers. We're going to have to give an account to God for this idol of spot. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes this morning.